I'm going to be talking tonight about the rampart. But before you get on that rampart, you've got to have that armor on. You got to have that. Well, I call it your personal protective equipment. If you work any place, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I remember when I worked at International Paper Company, they talked about it all the time. You got to have the hard hat, gloves, and all. Well, this is your personal protective equipment in the spiritual realm, is the whole armor of God. And whenever you're putting it on, first thing you do is you're going to put the breastplate of righteousness on. That covers your spirit, man, and that makes you right and puts you in right standing with God. So whenever you put that right, the Bible says in James chapter, this is not in your handout, but in James chapter 5 verse 16, it says that the effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So if you want your prayers to avail, you've got to be righteous, right? Well, you say, well, I'm trying my very best. You know, well, you become righteous by the blood of Jesus. And the way that you apply the blood of Jesus is that you've got to do it with the washing of the water of the word. And you do that by taking the word and you applying it over your spirit. You know, you've got to realize is the Bible says, because the devil, if you've done anything wrong, the devil's going to try to condemn you, right? He's going to try to remind you of it. He'll try to put you into condemnation. You've got to get out of that. And how you do it is with the blood of Jesus. You apply that blood by the washing of the water of the word. So what you do, you look at the word. It says, Lord, I know that your word says that all is sin and falling short of the glory of God. But your word also says that if I confess my sins, you're faithful and just to forgive me of my sins. And the blood of Jesus will cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Then you say, Holy Spirit, search my heart. Lord, forgive us of all of every word that we've spoken, every deed that we've done, every thought that we thought that's not pleasing to you. Lord, I ask that you take our sins and throw them as far as the east is from the west. And Lord, right now in the name of Jesus, we declare, Lord, that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that's how you put on that breastplate of righteousness, by speaking the word that has to do with the spirit man. Then you have to put on that helmet of salvation. When you put that helmet of salvation on, this is the mind, that's what gives you the mind of Christ. It covers your mind. See, the other covers your spirit. Now, the helmet of salvation covers your mind. So when you're taking that, what you've got to do, you've got to pray scriptures that has to do with the mind. Like, for example, you would say, Lord, your word tells us that if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of you. Lord, I acknowledge I'm like a little child. I don't know when to come in or when to go out, but Lord, I know that you do. I don't know what tomorrow, next week, or next year is going to bring, but Lord, I know that you do. For you are the author and the finisher of my faith. And Lord, as you already begun a good work in me, I know that you're going to continue to do it till the day that you come back for me. And whenever you're praying those scriptures like that, you know, I've heard people say, well, you know, Brother Danny, I've taken that prayer manual and I prayed it. But you know, after I done prayed it about 2 or 3 months, it gets to where, you know, I just don't feel anything. You know, feelings has to do with your body. It has nothing to do with your spirit. And then I have some that would say, you know, I almost feel like I'm in a ritual because I'm over here saying it, but while I'm saying it, I'm thinking about something else. Well, you got to understand, your mind has nothing to do with it right now. What you're wanting to do is get that in your spirit. So whenever you're putting that in your spirit, your mind doesn't have to be involved. Your body doesn't have to be involved. You may not have to feel it or anything. You're speaking that word, and whenever you're speaking that word, that word is effective. It never loses its power. It continues. I mean, the word of God, whenever you're speaking it, you're putting it right into your heart and you're changing some things in you. You're changing, whenever you're putting on that helmet of salvation, you're changing some things in your mind. Then you got to gird your loins about with truth. This is where you have to get away from feelings and you exchange facts for faith. And you began to realize that, you know, I'm going to take the truth because the Bible, the word is the truth. So I'm not going to just sit here and believe, even though I'm looking over here and I'm getting a bad reports. I'm not going to believe those reports. I choose to believe what God says. I choose to believe God's report. You have to shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That's for that anointing to break every yoke. You take that shield of faith. That shield of faith, you're supposed to use that in order to cover your family, your job, your business, your church, your nation. You cover everybody else with that shield of faith. How many of the fiery darts with a shield of faith quench a day? All of them. So it doesn't make any difference how many fiery darts are being sent to you, or being shot at you. The Bible says that the shield of faith quenches them all. So you take that and you begin to start speaking faith, which means faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You got to speak God's word to it. Then you take the sword of the spirit. That's the word of God. And you begin to start fighting. Now we're going into the rampart. And if you look at your handout that I gave you, look at the second scripture there in Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, I will stand my watch. Now I'm going to stop right there. First of all, it says, means that nobody else can do it for you. You're the only one that can do it. You're going to have to stand your watch. Now, he says, I will. It means it's got to be an act of my will. I will stand. Now, whenever I see that word stand, immediately it takes me right to Ephesians chapter 6, where it tells us that we're to therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you will be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand, therefore. So I'm going to take my stand. Now, whenever you take that stand and you put on the whole armor of God, you know, what you're putting that whole armor for is not just for you. And it's not just for you and your four and no more. If you get, because whenever we read on down in Ephesians chapter 6, if you look down to verse 18, it says you're praying always. This is after you put that armor on, you're praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for who? All the saints, not just your little, not just the ones that you like, for all the saints. What we're to do is we're to pray for one another. And that's, and then whenever we're taking our stand on the rampart, that's exactly what we're doing. And what the rampart is, that's the next version of Habakkuk chapter 2. It says, and I will set myself on the rampart. Now, I went and looked up what is a rampart. A rampart is a wall that is a rock wall that it surrounds a city for protection. And whenever you stand on that rampart, what God showed me in this vision is whenever you're standing on that rampart, to your back, you've got all the saints. You've got the church. You've got the ones that you're praying for. But out in front of you, you've got all of the enemies. Now, what are you going to be watching for? Are you going to be watching for the saints? Are you going to call Sister So-and-so and ask her, how's your rheumatism today? No, that's not the way that you do it. You're going to do this in prayer. You're going to get in prayer, because whatever it is, and here's the thing about it, whenever you start praying for other people, the good way to know about it, what do you need to pray about, is use your body as an antenna where you would be able to receive. For example, if you're going through something, I can assure you that there are other people that are in the body of Christ that are going through the very same thing. Now, I've taught this before. This is called covenant prayers, where we're in covenant with one another. And if you've been in my class before, you've heard me share about this, that whenever I was going to Bible college, I was privileged to be able to sit under the ministry of several faith healers, people that had the gift of healing. And just about every one of them, one of the things that I've noticed from every one of them is whenever they were praying, whenever they start, they would be preaching or something, and all of a sudden they stop and say, somebody over here has got a pain in your lower back. And then they would be able to, you know, bring them out. Or maybe if they was just a one-on-one, let's say if I was talking to Charles, and all of a sudden I end up getting the headache, I would, instead of saying this headache, I got a headache. Instead of telling Charles, I need you to pray for me, I got a headache, I'd know that the devil's after him, and devil's attacking him, and said, Charles, you got a headache, don't you? And every time what these faith healers were saying was every time that was the case. Whenever you're talking to somebody, and I don't know how many of you caught on, if you've heard me teach this before, but how many of you caught it last January, whenever Leonard Ford was here, he was starting over every day, but he said, somebody's got a pain in your lower back. And he said, I know that because I feel it and it's not mine. Anybody catch on to that? I caught that immediately whenever he said it. Because, well, I'm going to tell you something, whenever you've got the pain somewhere, don't claim it. Begin to start praying for everybody else in the body of Christ. And that's the way that you get rid of it. You see, the religious world, they tell you that in order to get rid of it, you got to get on everybody's church list. How many of you ever had people say, put me on your church list? Because they believe that the way that they're going to get healed is they get more people praying for them. I need all the prayers I can get. No, you don't. What you need is you need to start praying for others, and whenever you give, it'll be given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. That's the way that you get healed. That's the way that you get out of your bondage of poverty and get into prosperity. That's the way that you get out of addictions. That's the way that you get out of anything, is you begin to start praying for other people, and whenever you start praying for other people, it's going to come right back to you. If you're criticizing other people, you can expect to get criticized. If you're condemning people, you can expect to get condemned. If you're gossiping about one another, you can expect to be gossiped about. Because as you give, it's given back to you, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Then you wonder, you know, I guess I'm going to leave that church. Everybody's talking about me. That's because you've been talking about everybody else. You give, and that's just something that has a spiritual law that it comes back to you. But I want to tell you, whenever you take that stand on the rampart, you're not out there to find out what the enemy says, and you're not over there to find out even what the people in the church are saying. When you take that stand on the rampart, when you look back at Habakkuk chapter 2 in that third line, it says, "And I will watch to see what he," and notice the word "he" is capitalized, meaning that it's talking about God. I'm going to watch to see what God is going to say to me, and then what I'm going to answer whenever I'm corrected. You've got to always get before God to find out what is. And you say, "Well, how do I know? Why are you saying I'm going to get corrected?" Because by nature, we're carnally minded. By nature, we look at things in the flesh. By nature, we look what appears to be right. But I want to tell you something. The Bible says that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end leads to death. You've got to get away from what appears, what seems to be, because, you know, you're somebody, "Well, it seems to me." You know, that's the beginning words of an idiot. Whenever you begin to start talking about what appears to me, because there's a way that seems right. And you've got to get out of that and find out what is it that God is saying about it. And one of the things and I'm going to try to wrap this up. If you look toward the back. Now, in my ministry, I'm a teacher. And as a teacher, my goal is to say, is whenever I'm up here, to be able to say something that will help you in your prayer life. Something that will be able to make your prayer a more effective, fervent prayer. And if I'm not doing that, then I'm not failed. So I'm praying that tonight that you'll listen to what I'm saying. Because whenever you're up there on that rampart, what you're doing is you're partnering with God, and the way that I can explain this is the way that Jesus explained, or way the centurion explained it, whenever he went to Jesus and asked him to, about, you know, I'm needing some help. I've got a servant. I'm needing, and that's found in Matthew chapter 8 verse 9. This is in your handout if you want to read it later. But what the centurion, you know, Jesus was going to go to his house, and he says, "I'm not worthy for you to come to my house." But he says, I understand authority. I'm a man of authority. I say to this one, "Come," and he comes. I say to this one, "Go," and he goes. I tell this one, "Do this," and he does this. And I tell this one to do that, and he does that. He says, "So just Jesus, all you got to do is just speak the word only, and I know that my servant is going to be healed." What was Jesus' response? He marveled. Why? Because he said he hasn't seen such great faith in all of Israel. What I'm trying to tell you is this, is that we have still got dominion. God, whenever God created man, he created man and he gave him dominion. Now, I've heard people say that man lost his dominion whenever he fell. No, what happened is man got cut loose from the power source. Now, let me explain it this way. You can go to Walmart and you can buy the very best food processor that Walmart has. One of the top of the line. It can slice, dice, puree, mix. It can do everything. You take it home and you take it out and you can put stuff in it. But I'm going to tell you something, that food processor won't do nothing until you plug it into the power source. And it's the same way with us. We've got dominion, but the only way that we're going to be able to use that dominion is, first of all, you're going to be plugged into the power source. And you get plugged into the power source by praying the word of God, not going before God and saying, "Oh, God, it's just so bad. My wife done left me. My kids, they disowned me. My dog done bit me. And, you know, you could go on and talk about all the about how bad it is. And you know what? You're going to leave from there just still as hopeless as you was whenever you first came. And it's just like the sister that came here back in January, and I know her name, but red hair, Sandy Burris. It's just like what she said. God has already done everything he's going to do to get you healed, to get you prosperous, to be able to get you set free. God has done everything that he's going to do on Calvary. Because after Jesus died, he didn't stay on the cross. He didn't stay in that tomb. He left. He didn't just stay up into heaven. He did go to hell. And he'd end up beating the devil right there in his own turf. And he did ascend up into heaven. But I want to tell you something. He didn't just ascend up into heaven. He came right back down here and he lives inside of us. It's the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. And whatever, for us to take dominion, what we've got to do is get connected. That's how we get connected to the power source, through the Holy Spirit, through speaking his word. And whenever you're faithful in prayer, I can promise you this, God's going to be faithful with you. Anytime you're faithful in prayer, you know, have you ever wondered why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6 that it says that whenever it says that to be prepared for the evil day, that word day is not days? You know, you realize that every day is an evil day? But the reason why it's singular instead of plural is because whenever you put on that whole armor of God, it's good for one day. Because the next morning, you got to get up and put it on again. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. It's a daily thing that you're going to have to continue to put on. And every day that you put it on, and you're going to have to tell the devil's where to go, and you're going to have to tell that. Here's something else, too. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 11, verse 12, he says that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Now, whenever you're speaking to devils, you don't need to sit there and say, now, devil, you got to get out of here. Because you're not going to get nowhere like that. And the best way that I can explain it, anybody know Smith Wigglesworth? But Smith Wigglesworth was one day, he was walking to a meeting with a pastor. And as they was walking to the meeting, there was another lady that was coming out of the house, and there was a little French poodle that was following him. And whenever she went out there, she realized the poodle was following her. She turned around, she said, now, sweetheart, you can't be coming with me, my mama. I'm going to a meeting, and you can't go. You're going to have to go back to the house. So she turned around and started walking. She looked back, and the poodle was still following her. So she looked back. She stopped, and she said, now, Fifi, I done told you. You're going to have to go back home. You can't go with me to the meeting. You've got to go back home. She turned around and started walking, and the notice of the dog was still following her. So then she looked, and whenever she saw the dog was still following her, she said, get out of here! And immediately the dog tucked his tail right between his tail leg and ran right straight back home. Smith Wigglesworth looked at her pastor friend and said, that's the way that you got to talk to the devil. And that is the way that you can see. The Bible calls them dogs, and that's what they are. They're like dogs. We got a Adam's dog over at our house. And his name is Bandit. And Carolyn can tell you that whenever she opens that door to go feed him, he loves to come run in the house. When he comes in the house, I look and say, Bandit, get out of here! And immediately runs out. But if I say, hey, Bandit, what you doing? Bandit's going to sit there, just waggle his tail, and come over there to me. But I'm going to tell you, whenever demons come over there to you, if you're not tough with them, Bible says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. And the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. It's through the speaking. Whenever we're speaking that word, we were created in the image of God. And the way that we get things done is the same way that God got things done whenever he created the universe. We have to speak to it. And whenever you speak to that mountain, and when you speak to that mountain, it's at the rampart, it's at the time of prayer. I know that because Jesus said that if you say to this mountain, be thou removed, moved and be cast in the sea, and it has to obey you. And then he says, so whenever you pray, that's the time to speak to your mountain. See, what it is, what the rampart is the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God. That's exactly what the rampart is. And what the kingdom of God is, what God showed me that it's like, Earl knows exactly what I'm talking about because he worked at International Paper. I worked over in the pulp mill, and I'm just going to say the pulp mill because even though all the rest of the departments had it too, in the pulp mill, we had a thing called a control room. And in that control room, we operated everything on the outside through that control room. If somebody needed something done, they would call into the control room and we would end up having to push a button or we'd start the pump, we would raise a level, we would lower the level, whatever it is that we had to do, we did it from the control room. And that's exactly what the kingdom of God is. It's your prayer time. It's that time whenever you're there spending with God. Now, the kingdom of heaven is whenever you get out of the prayer room and you go out there and you begin to start seeing things that's going wrong. That's when you go back to the kingdom of God and you get on that rampart and you start commanding those things that change. Now, Jesus said the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent takes it by force. And the way you take it by force, get connected to the power source. You get connected to the power source. You speak that word. You don't speak, go to God and tell God how big the mountain is. You go to the mountain and tell how big your God is. Amen. Now, another thing that you need to know is this. Whenever you tell something to go, and I know I'm running out of time, but I'm going to get this done. When you tell something to go, you need to tell something to come. Whenever you make a void, anytime you tell something, when you tell sickness to go, there's a void that is there that has got to be filled. Whenever you tell poverty to go, there's a void there that's got to be filled. And Jesus said this. He said, whenever a demon is cast out, he'll go to dry, deserted places, and then he'll come back. And if he finds that it's empty, that void is empty, what happens is he goes get 7 more demons, and he comes back, and the state is worse than what it was. So whenever you tell poverty to go, you need to tell prosperity to come. And everything you do it in the name of Jesus. You use the name of Jesus. You know, that Jesus has given us the power of attorney. Because that means that whenever we've got the right to use that name, and I want to tell you, you need to use it, wear that name out. Now, as a teacher, I don't give altar calls. Most of you probably noticed that. But what I do, I give homework. So I've got you some homework. If you look on the back of your list, you got what I call the rampart checkoff list. And I'm going to tell you this. In no way is this list complete. You notice little blank sheets, blank lines in there? That's for you to fill out. That means that anything that you go through, then you write down what you want to tell to go. But at the same time, stop and think. And if you don't know, ask God. He'll tell you what is the opposite of worrying. Well, it's faith in God. So whenever you command worry to go, then you commission faith in God to come. And we're going to do this, okay, because I don't have a whole lot of time, and this is going to take a little bit of time, but I want you to sense the power of this. Now, I'm going to tell you this. Like I said, if you're faithful to God, God's going to be faithful to you. I've got a proof of this. The proof is in the pudding, right? Well, I noticed that my pudding that came in, Annette Flanagan back there, she worked for Day and Zimmerman. Now, any of you know anything about what's going on in Camden? If you've been reading the papers, you know that Day and Zimmerman they shut down back in January, right, Annette? February. They shut down in February. Everybody else has gone to the unemployment lines, except for Annette and one other person. That's God. There is no work out there, but man, there just keeps on work. Just come on, keeping up. She never knows 1 week to the next whether she's going to be working the next week. But every week since February, they've been saying, yeah, come on back next week. Come on back next week. And now she said they even asked her something about going to Texarkana and working up there. You know, helping them do some stuff over there. But, you're faithful to God. God's going to be faithful to you. You'll see favor. You'll find things going your way that you never realized, but you've got to be faithful in doing this, okay? Now, get your sheet, and we're going to do this. And don't say, whenever I say devil, don't say, go. You say, go in the name of Jesus. And we're going to take it by force. Are you ready? All right. Devil, go in the name of Jesus. Holy Spirit, come in the name of Jesus. Demons, go in the name of Jesus. Angels, come in the name of Jesus. Sickness, go in the name of Jesus. Healing, come in the name of Jesus. Poverty, go in the name of Jesus. Prosperity, come in the name of Jesus. Lust, go in the name of Jesus. Love, come in the name of Jesus. Anger, go in the name of Jesus. Quiet, contrite spirit, come in the name of Jesus. Fear, go in the name of Jesus. Faith, come in the name of Jesus. Murmuring, go in the name of Jesus. Thanksgiving, come in the name of Jesus. Complaining, go in the name of Jesus. Appreciation, come in the name of Jesus. Criticizing, go in the name of Jesus. Uplifting, come in the name of Jesus. Grumpiness, go in the name of Jesus. Joyfulness, come in the name of Jesus. Pain, go in the name of Jesus. Pain free, come in the name of Jesus. Rebellion, go in the name of Jesus. Household salvation. Obedience, come in the name of Jesus. Family disunity, go in the name of Jesus. Household salvation, come in the name of Jesus. Disunity, go in the name of Jesus. Unity, come in the name of Jesus. Strife, go in the name of Jesus. Peace, come in the name of Jesus. Hate, go in the name of Jesus. Love, come in the name of Jesus. Problems, go in the name of Jesus. Solution, come in the name of Jesus. Darkness, go in the name of Jesus. Light, come in the name of Jesus. Ignorance, go in the name of Jesus. Knowledge, come in the name of Jesus. Misunderstanding, go in the name of Jesus. Wisdom, come in the name of Jesus. Patience, go in the name of Jesus. Patience, come in the name of Jesus. Bumpy ways, go in the name of Jesus. Smooth ways, come in the name of Jesus. Crooked ways, go in the name of Jesus. Straight ways, come in the name of Jesus. Meanness, go in the name of Jesus. Kindness, come in the name of Jesus. Bad things, go in the name of Jesus. Goodness, come in the name of Jesus. Hardness, go in the name of Jesus. Gentleness, come in the name of Jesus. Loss of control, go in the name of Jesus. Self-control, come in the name of Jesus. Debts, go in the name of Jesus. Debt free, come in the name of Jesus. Laziness, go in the name of Jesus. Energy, come in the name of Jesus. Unemployment, go in the name of Jesus. Employment, come in the name of Jesus. Addictions, go in the name of Jesus. Freedom, come in the name of Jesus. Sin, go in the name of Jesus. Obedience, come in the name of Jesus. Negative thoughts, go in the name of Jesus. Positive thoughts, come in the name of Jesus. Hearing only, name of Jesus. Doer of the word, come in the name of Jesus. Envy, go in the name of Jesus. Love, come in the name of Jesus. Jealousy, go in the name of Jesus. Love, come in the name of Jesus. Selfishness, go in the name of Jesus. Love, come in the name of Jesus. Distractions, go in the name of Jesus. Attention to God, come in the name of Jesus. Rejection, go in the name of Jesus. Acceptance, come in the name of Jesus. Discouragement, go in the name of Jesus. Encouragement, come in the name of Jesus. Gluttony, go in the name of Jesus. Self-control, come in the name of Jesus. Insomnia, go in the name of Jesus. Sleep, come in the name of Jesus. Gossip, go in the name of Jesus. Uplifting others, come in the name of Jesus. Worry, go in the name of Jesus. Faith in God, come in the name of Jesus. Can't you sense the difference? Can't you sense it? You commanded, we commanded some things, and there may be some other things that you're going through. I want to tell you what you've got to do is command it to go. And then figure, what have I got to fill it back with? And do everything in the name of Jesus. Do everything in the name of Jesus. Because whenever you're doing it in your own name, you're not going to be able to do it. You know, you remember whenever the demon, the sons of, is what? Eva. Eva. See, whatever. Yeah, my, you know where I'm talking about. It's in the book of Acts. They tried to cast out demons and they said, Paul, I know, Jesus, I know, but who are you? I want to tell you, whatever you do it in the name of Jesus, they know who Jesus is. Jesus has already went down there and beat him at his own turf. And I'm going to tell you whenever you say that name of Jesus, you got his attention. And whenever you tell him to go, you're going to go. And whenever you speak to that mountain, you say, mountain, be thou removed. The Bible says it has no choice. It has no choice. It's got to get up and it's got to go. Just use the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to turn now over to them. God bless you.